Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the King Case press call. All lines have been placed in a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for questions following the presentation. If you should require assistance throughout the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad to reach a live operator. At this time, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to Mary Beth Gubitta. Ma'am, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Jen, and thanks everyone for joining this media call today put on by the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Just a little bit of instruction about how the call will go. I'm going to introduce Sam Cadman, who will give some opening statements. Then we'll just go right into question and answer time where you can ask your specific questions, and the operator will give instructions on how to do that. So without further ado, Sam Cadman is General Counsel here at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. For those of you who may not know him, he has been an influential force here in bringing together the King v. Burwell case. The Competitive Enterprise Institute coordinated and funded this case that started roughly 2 years ago, and Sam is just going to give some opening comments about today's Supreme Court decision and what the case really means. So, Sam, I will turn it over to you.
Thank you. CEI is a nonprofit free market advocacy organization. We were founded in 1984. We've been involved in a number of Supreme Court cases. We got involved in this case because we saw it as posing some fundamental issues of what we call structural constitutionalism, the fact that you've got certain very important limits built into the Constitution, all aimed at restraining the growth and power of government. And separation of powers, which we think was the major constitutional issue here, even though the case technically was a statutory one, we think separation of powers is one doctrine that is, I think, in big jeopardy as a result of this decision. We were also involved in the companion case of Halbig versus Burwell, which was actually the first case to be filed by us, and that is on hold in the D.C. Circuit. There are also two cases, one brought by Oklahoma, one brought by Indiana, which are also on hold in other courts as well. In brief, we think today's ruling is a very grave violation of that separation of powers, because the end result is that the IRS has issued a regulation on subsidies, which is contrary to the law that Congress wrote. And while Justice Roberts, in his majority ruling, has a number of reasons for why he is departing from the plain text of the statute, we think Scalia really nails it in the dissent, namely that what the court has done is to engage in somersaulting on some very traditional and basic rules of statutory construction in coming to its conclusion. And what you basically got is a disregarding of the term established by a state. That focuses not on what the exchanges actually do in the way of functions, but on who set them up, what entity created that. And to the extent that you're trying to reconcile all that with what Congress enacted, remember, Congress knew it could not force the states to set up their own exchanges, but that's what it wanted the states to do. And since it couldn't force them to do that, it instead decided to induce them to do that, to strongly encourage them via the provision of subsidies. If you accept the majority's interpretation of this statute, namely that tax credits would be available through exchanges regardless of whether they're state or federally established, then there simply is no incentive. There never was an incentive for states to set up their exchanges, because what's in it for them? And so I think that the Roberts majority really does some violence both to congressional intention and to the statute itself when it argues that by making subsidies available to all exchanges, it actually is doing what Congress wanted to do. I think one other irony here is that Justice Roberts identifies the three major functions of Obamacare, namely guaranteed issue, individual mandate, and subsidies. That that combination, that trio of factors, used to go by the term the three-legged stool, which, of course, was coined by Jonathan Gruber. And, of course, Jonathan Gruber simply is not mentioned in this ruling, despite the government's heavy reliance on him early on in the case. And the reason for that is because in the Jonathan Gruber 2012 video, which CEI played a large part in sending it viral, Gruber himself adopts the very same interpretation that we believe was the correct one and that Scalia and two other justices also accepted. So it's interesting that Roberts adopts this metaphor by a person who is no longer mentioned by name for some very interesting reasons. That being said, I would like to read a statement, a joint statement from our plaintiffs, is as follows. We are deeply disappointed with today's Supreme Court decision because it hurts Americans like us in two ways. First, it threatens something that our democracy is based on, the rule of law. And second, it allows the IRS to keep offering nationwide subsidies, even though the law that Congress passed says otherwise. That unfairly restricts the health insurance choices of millions of people, and it threatens their jobs as well. Reforming Obamacare has always been a job for Congress, but now Congress has another job as well, to protect the rule of law and prevent agencies from overreaching or abusing their power. We sincerely hope that Congress can do both jobs. And now let me just add one thing as I see as one possible silver linings, having lost the case, the natural instinct is in fact to reach for silver linings, and that it's our hope that the momentum towards reexamining and reforming Obamacare that began months ago when there was the realization that we may in fact succeed at the Supreme Court level, it's our hope that that momentum gets translated into a real push to reexamine and reform this program. And at least this time around, that will be done by the elected representatives in Congress and in state offices as well, rather than by unelected bureaucrats. So having said all that and confessing that I have not yet gone through the entire decision, we're open for questions.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question or comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Please hold while we poll for questions. Okay, our first question comes from David Wingle from Bloomberg. Please state your question.
Hi, it's Dave Weigel. Thanks for doing for the call. Two questions. One, does CEI want to see lawmakers reform Obamacare in the congressional process? That seemed to be what you were hinting at the end. I mean, the people have been kind of squirrely today on whether they'll use budget reconciliation to do this. And secondly, I mean, you talked a little bit about Roberts, but just Are you frankly surprised twice now at his rationale in upholding the law? Is this not, 10 years ago, would you have seen this sort of decision-making from him?
When he was appointed. Second question first. We were very surprised by his reasoning in the NFIB case, and we're even more surprised by his reasoning here. It seemed to me that you have a direct threat to the question of what words mean. And if what Congress enacts, if the words that Congress chooses cannot be counted on to bind the executive and to restrict the agencies of the executive branch, then there is no way for Congress to really exert control through statutory enactments over the rest of government. And frankly, since the entire purpose of the Constitution was to impose restrictions on government, we see his ruling as a very drastic a weakening of that. Regarding your first question, we do want to see reform of Obamacare. We believe that even though there's been a huge amount of press attention on the victims that a ruling in our favor might create, on the people who count on subsidies but would lose them, there's been a total disregard of the fact that the program itself has created huge number of victims as well. Those are people who have seen their insurance premiums skyrocket. They've seen their insurance choices drastically cut back, and they have seen their own jobs jeopardized by the incentive in Obamacare for companies to take full-time workers and push them into part-time status. Those victims will continue in existence and may well expand in number unless there is some real reform. But once again, we think that reform has to come from elected representatives and not from agencies.
And not from any more legal action?
Until we go through the decision in a little more detail, let me hold off on answering that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you again. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that prompt is star 1 for your telephone keypad to ask a question at this time. Okay, our next question comes from Jennifer Harbercorn from Politico. Please state your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I jumped on late, so I'm sorry if you addressed this already. But I guess I'm wondering in general what you see is next for the law in terms of any legal challenges. Anything you can say about that?
Yeah, frankly, at this point, in terms of any plans by us, I have to say they're up in the air. I wouldn't rule anything out. As I mentioned, first we want to finish going through this ruling in a bit more detail and with some tempers that have calmed down.
Thank you.
Thank you. There appears to be no further questions at this time.
Okay, great. Well, then we will go ahead and wrap it up there. If anyone on the line does want to follow up, you can call or email us. If you don't have my email, you can just send an email to media@cei.org, and that will come to us, and we'll be happy to follow up with you. Thanks, everyone, for joining the call.
Thank you. This does conclude today's teleconference. We thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and have a great day.